This is Len, and you're listening to Big J, Dean Lipa on the Jabbercast, Talk Radio on the Go.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big J, Dean Lipa, Talk Radio on the Go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week, from the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast, Talk Radio on the Go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big J, Dean Lipa, all rights reserved, listener feedback encouraged, some conditions apply, open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast, show number 21 for the week of
January 4th, 2007.
I'm Big JD.
Good one. You got that
beating
in there.
The punch.
You're trying to get me in there. That's good. You're right on top of things. JD's all caffeinated this morning because he had a hard night's sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm caffeinated or not. Am I caffeinated? Does Tylenol 2 have caffeine in it?
No, it has the opposite.
Yeah, it's actually got codeine.
Codeine in it. Did you take some before you came out this morning?
No, not before I came out. I took them last night, and I'm just still, like, goofy. I don't honestly know if I've ever taken those in my life, except up till a few days ago.
Desperate times call for
now
desperate
measures. I've had, like,
four
bottles.
Of Tylenol 2. Well, you should start diving.
No, four deep. Bottles of whiskey with the...
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm just kidding.
And no ephedrine.
Yep. Haven't had ephedrine in days. That's why I'm in a daze.
You're probably on withdrawals of
It's all
kind.
For pain, folks. It's not for fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm having fun.
You're having fun.
What are you giving me these pills for?
You're having fun at my expense.
Someone's got to pay.
Kick him when he's down. Kick him when he's in pain.
Kick him when he's down. Kick him when he's up. So what's the topic of this week's Jabbercast, JD?
The topic this week is the computer age.
How old is the computer, you mean?
Not computer rage.
How old is the computer? Is that what
how
you're talking
old? No, not the age of the computer, but the computer age. We're in the computer age. It seems that everything we do nowadays is based on the computer in one way or another.
Pretty much.
Our everyday tasks now. I mean, you don't have to go to the bank anymore. You can do it on your computer. You don't have to order a pizza on the phone. You can order them online.
Sushi, too.
Sure.
In fact, that's the only way in Bell River here they have. It's called quicksushi.com is the name of the business. That's the sign on the front
I
of the building.
I think that's awesome.
Quicksushi.com. And you can't, there's no calling. You have to go to quicksushi.com on your computer and
that's
go
right.
through the
sure.
menu and order it. And then they call you to confirm. You know, did you order or whatever? And then you say yes. And you go pick it up.
We get pizzas on Sunday. It's our cheat day. So we get a pizza from Pizza Pizza. And you can actually order it online. Although, as much as I'm into the computer thing.
Okay, here we go.
I don't actually order online because I think there'll be mistakes.
How can there be mistakes?
Computers.
Oh.
Computers make mistakes. Humans don't.
Exactly. Not!
Yeah. So I still order on the telephone.
It's the humans who interact with the computers that make the errors.
Exactly.
So that's what you're afraid of. Someone on the other end is going to make the error with your pizza order.
Right.
Because he's not paid big bucks or nothing.
No, they don't care.
They don't care either. In fact, they kind of get a kick out of it when they send you pizza with anchovies. And
they probably spit on the receiver while they're talking to you. Just like they would when they're making your pizza.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Or your sushi.
Sushi! Hey!
So, where are we headed with all this?
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start where personal computing had originated or when people started using computers on a regular basis? Or
yeah, let's talk about the computer age. It wasn't up until not that long ago. People weren't using computers for all these things. It hasn't been that long that you could do all the things that you can do now on the computer, and that I think maybe internet and the web is more widely accepted now for taking orders and buying. And, you know, still a lot of people that are a little hesitant to buy online. To order online, thinking maybe not secure and credit cards and things like that. But
sure.
For the most part, it's pretty secure. And I think any of the laws kind of that govern what goes on with your credit cards, I think you're generally covered for, you know, insurance wise and things like that for foul play. I think it's, you usually know when there's foul play, you know, somebody that never orders online is because they're scared and they order one time and all of a sudden there's somebody steals their
credit card number or something. And, you know, I think you get covered for that kind of stuff.
You are covered for the most part. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about shopping online? Is that what you want
to do? Let's talk about all the things that, you know, people use the computer for now that they may not have in the past. What I mainly get at with that is just the fact that you hear a lot of times, like, you know, my buddy will say, or you hear somebody saying, oh, my, you know, I'm on the computer too much, or so-and-so's husband's on the computer too much,
sure,
or my wife or whatever, or they don't get off the computer. Now it's a form of communication. So you might not be on the phone, or you might not go in another room to call somebody on a phone or a particular phone that you like or whatever. You're on the computer, either chatting or using Skype or making a phone call that way somehow. In the past, I know I would use recording gear that was just, you know, hardware. So you'd be in another room recording musical instruments and stuff like that. And you don't have to do that now. You can be on the computer. So you're sitting in the same chair as you would be ordering your pizza, maybe watching TV on the computer because they all have computer cards now, doing your banking online, doing some research. Like, it's all done in the one same spot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So what appears to seem like you're just doing nothing because you're on there for all this time, you would be spending the time going to the bank. You'd be spending time maybe going visit somebody that you can just talk to easily. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Those are the kinds of things. So yeah, we could start with shopping, I guess.
Okay. Do you shop online?
Sure.
What kind of stuff do you buy? Do you buy clothes?
Actually, my wife buys clothes online. I can't say that I've actually bought clothes online, but mine is usually music, movies, that kind of thing. But I mean, I have no problem, you know, with the credit card thing online or PayPal and, you know, those kinds of accounts and things. The clothes things, the only reason I kind of stay away from the clothes thing is just because of the fact of fit. That's not like I order a CD, I know what I'm getting, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas you buy a shirt, is it going to fit? Is it the right material? Is it what I'm thinking it is? You know, unless it was something, there's a few things that, I bought a baseball cap online before because I knew exactly what it was. The Windsor Jeep Club ball cap. So I knew what I was getting.
Sure. And they had custom fits and stuff like that?
It's just a one-size-fit-all for that. So, okay. you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, as far as most clothes, there was another long-sleeve shirt I ordered online that I was quite certain, you know, what it was, my size and that kind of thing. So I hadn't realized there's a couple of clothing items that I did buy. But usually music-wise, you know what you're getting, or a movie, those kinds of things. And it's the chances are slight that there's a problem or damage or anything like that. But I've ordered lots of other things online. How about you? You shop online?
Sure do. I like to buy all my computer electronics and stuff like that online if I can, because usually you tend to get better prices. And I have somewhat of an advantage in so much that my sister has an office that she works at in Detroit. And most of the bigger computer outlets and electronic stores over in the States will ship over to Canada, but it'll cost a lot more. So I just have these places shipped to her office. So I have an advantage that way. And then she either brings it back for me or I go pick it up. And what else do I buy online? I buy music for sure online, download music and software, buy lots of software online.
Yeah, downloading is another thing. You don't have to wait for what you're buying, which is just an amazing thing in itself. You can buy a piece of software, you can buy a CD or a movie now online, and you just download it. You don't even have to wait for it to be snail mailed to you by a courier or whatever.
Not movie. I haven't seen any place in Canada or that will send a movie.
Well, I'm talking about iTunes Music Store, and they show an up in Canada store now. I don't know if you can buy them here or not.
No, you can't.
But there are actually websites where you can pay to download movies and stuff like that. Sure.
Sure. And I have bought DVDs online as well.
Yeah, but that you have to wait for that to get sent to you.
Yeah, I have.
But I'm talking about downloaded. Yeah. Is, you know, sure. That's pretty neat to pay for something that you don't even have to wait for at all. You just buy it and download it. How convenient is that?
The most convenient.
You don't have to go to the bank and get money or anything. You don't have to take a walk here or a drive there or anything. And you just right from the comfort of your own desk.
Sure. While we're talking about buying stuff, can we talk about PayPal?
Sure.
Well, PayPal is part of buying. It's a big part of buying, I think, because for one thing, it's owned by eBay. I'll let you know that much. And PayPal is like, they're like the go-between between you and someone else you want to give money to. And so you put either money in your account with your PayPal account, and then you from that account, you give that money to whoever you want to send it to. And you can send it by cell phone now, even PayPal mobile. Or you can just have PayPal take the money out of your bank account if you want as well, or you can have it charged to your credit card. And PayPal is it's the most secure way, I think, to pay online. It's pretty bulletproof. Of course, since it is one of the most common ways to pay for something online, it is also one of the biggest targets for phishers. Mm-hmm. And what a phisher is someone who will try to pretend they're PayPal. And
right, they get emails that say they're from PayPal. And
right, send me your...
Log into your account and blah, blah, blah. Just click here to log in and... Yeah.
And you're not really logging into your PayPal account at all. So you have to be careful about that. And the biggest thing I can tell you is, as far as a tip goes, using PayPal... PayPal will always call you by your username. Give you by your name, yeah. Right? They won't refer to your email address at all.
Right.
Look at the Mr. LaPlante. This is PayPal, and we want to do it.
And even if that's the case, if you're unsure, don't click any links from your email to get to a PayPal site, because it could be a mock site, and they just want to get the information that you put in, you know, whatever the form is there. You could actually just go to PayPal online, go to their secure section or whatever, right. And just if you need to log in your account, do it that way to check things or see if there's a message for you or anything there.
Right. Just walk in the front door, basically.
Sure. Without even leaving the comfort of your own desk.
Right. So PayPal is very secure. I use it all the time.
Sure. So do I. I use PayPal. Yeah. Amazon's awesome for safety. All the big names, they're all good, you know, or the big department stores that are online and stuff. Like, you don't have any problem with that. I don't think anybody's got to worry about that. I don't think anybody has to really worry online for most, you know. And there's obscure things that I've gone and bought too, but, you know, they're usually paid through a reputable place like PayPal. Mm-hmm. There's really only a couple of places, or sometimes they go through a third party with your credit card thing or whatever, but I've never had a problem. And my wife and we buy online.
Now, what about eBay?
Kind of regularly. eBay may be a little bit different depending on how you're actually paying for the goods, but I have bought through eBay, somebody that was advertising on eBay, but bought it like directly through them, because usually I find I want to talk to the person and ask a couple other questions and things like that. And I end up a lot of them have storefronts of some kind on eBay, you know, so you can talk to them direct and buy that way. But you purchased on eBay?
I'm on there almost every time I think of something that I want to get.
You want to check eBay first anyway,
First, yeah.
Everything's there and you're going to get price checking, and it's a great reference for sure. Even if you don't end up buying from there and you want to buy at a store somewhere, check eBay and see what, you know, people are paying.
Another reason that I use eBay is if I'm selling something.
Sure.
And I want to find out what the market value is for the thing that I'm selling. Yep. What you can do on eBay is search for something, and you'll search under completed items, and it'll give you the price that something got sold at. Yep. And you can take an average of whatever it is, and then you have a really good idea of what value the thing that you're trying to sell is.
So it kind of boils down, folks, to probably not worrying so much about buying online.
Yeah, there's no worries, man.
What about research? If you have a rash on your arm, mm-hmm. you want to maybe can't call your doctor's office Saturday, Sunday, you have something going on of some kind that, affecting your body or your family, or somebody's in trouble of some kind and you want to find out legal information or can't call a lawyer or, you know, those kinds of things. Isn't the internet, the computer is an awesome way to do research or find out information?
Yes, it's awesome. It's
you right can't beat
fingers.
That.
It's right at your fingertips.
Sure.
So this is internet related specifically. Things
so far, yeah. So we're kind of internet related, but with shopping and the research thing, and you don't need the big bookshelf full of Encyclopedia Britannica anymore.
No.
You don't necessarily even need, honestly, the software like World Book software or Encyclopedia Britannica software. You can buy them on CDs and stuff like that, and it was always an Art Linkletter. It was always a great way for kids to do projects, and we had encyclopedias growing up, you know, and as a kid, because we didn't have access to this information like we have now on the superhighway here.
That's right.
And now all the information's there. Wikipedia
is do you want to tell people what Wikipedia is as far as a research thing? That do you want me to tell?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Wikipedia is a user-based resource reference material for anything. If you can think of it, there probably is an entry in Wikipedia. It's an online encyclopedia that the entries were put in there by people.
Right. So anybody can do that. Like, I could just log in there right now and post extra information on some particular subject that, you know, I may not find that information there, or it's something that's new that came up that I realized or something, or anything that you can think of to put in for any article, you can do that.
That's right. And somebody might think, well, I can put in wrong information. Yes,
sure.
You can.
Yeah.
However, the majority of people out there will read your entry and it'll get fixed.
Sure. You can edit it.
Yeah, everybody can edit any entry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So usually the truth prevails. It's kind of funny how, as a society or as a culture and as a whole, that if we all put our minds together and put our resources together to make this one thing, it's interesting how it turns out to be a pretty good thing.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of gives me like the goose pimples just thinking about it, because
yeah.
It's like, wow, humankind can really do something.
Oh, you know, he's rashing right up. Get online and check out what this is about.
And by having something like this, it makes us realize that without us each collaborating with each other and saying, you say this and you say this, because there's millions of people on
sure.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It is usually one of the most accurate pieces or places to go to find information about anything. It's interesting, that's for sure. I highly suggest
it's awesome. You
go check it out. And it's in a bajillion languages.
Sure. Yeah, and then there's other places like about.com.
Yes, another.
Where you can find lots of information about pretty much anything. I know I'm just getting ready for my shoulder surgery, and I've done lots of research online about the pre-assessment, post-surgery, and all the things that to watch for and look for, and questions to ask, maybe things that I might not have thought of to ask the doctor, or things that I might not have thought of for post-recovery and exercises. And, you know, I'm sure I'll get a lot of that information from the hospital and from therapy and stuff. But, I mean, I get a heads up by looking at all that stuff online, so that's really cool.
And
you can find anything.
How many Jabbercasts are we going to have to miss because of the...
We won't miss any.
Shoulder surgery. That's hard for me to say. Can you say that fast 3 times?
Shoulder surgery.
Yeah, it's hard.
Shoulder surgery. So, yeah, there's a plethora of information on the internet on any subject or topic that you can think of. So
it's
all there. Doesn't matter what it is. Banking. You do banking online?
You can bank on that, buddy.
Oh, I'm scared to bank online.
You're not.
I don't want to enter my information and have my accounts online. People steal my identity.
That's my money, though.
Sure, I bank online. I don't care if anybody steals anything from me.
It's all insured.
You can have it all. Yeah, it's all insured.
They set this stuff up, and if somebody goes
very
in
secure.
And, yeah, it's secure anyway. It's like, what, 256-bit encryption or something?
It's probably harder to do any of that than it is to break into the bank and steal the money.
Yeah, when money's involved, they do what they can to make sure that it's secure. It's money.
Yeah, sure.
They don't want to lose it, and we don't want to lose it. So, and they want to make people feel secure doing it.
But there are a lot of people that are afraid to bank online.
I know.
They don't do it. So take it from Big JD and Lippo. It's okay to bank online.
Yeah.
And you can take that to the bank.
Going to the bank to actually do something, kind of, it's like, oh, I got to go to the bank. Sometimes you
actually wait till I can withdraw and put in money, cash, from my computer, because I can't stand going there when I have to do that, because you don't have a choice there. Or you can go to an instant teller machine, ATM or something, to put in money and take out money. But I
sure.
mean, generally, yeah, you got to go to the bank to put a check in or something like that. Or, you know what I mean? I can't stand that anymore.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
We get very accustomed and dependent on using the computer for that. And then your computer breaks down or something, and you don't have your computer. And I say, wow, I can't do my banking, and I can't do this, can't do that. And it becomes an integral part of your life for sure.
Yes, it does. Can I just go back to the research thing?
Sure.
Personal experience. It's funny that my kids, I have a 14 and a 12-year-old, they have questions. Kids have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I don't always have the answers. And it's funny that when
back up the bus. He doesn't always have the answer? What's up with that?
Sometimes they ask questions. I don't know the answer.
I'm devastated.
It's interesting that intuitively now, the laptop's out in the living room most of the time. Okay, dad doesn't, or if I'm not here, they just...
Now dad's asking the kids questions.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting that we're raising kids, you know, it's second nature.
If
I want to find something, I'll just pick it up.
Now, yeah.
It's available to me. It's at my fingertips.
Yeah. And like our parents would have said to us at some point, there was a time when we didn't have this, whatever it was, a VCR and now, you know, you're telling your kids there was a time when there was no internet or wasn't this and wasn't that. And they're like, they can't fathom that. What do you mean, no computer, no internet, no PSP? What are you talking about?
Exactly. I had to walk 20 miles in the snow into my bare feet to go get that answer.
Yeah. That's right. I'm still cold from that.
You're cold from that, are you?
What about your contacts, friends and family, snail mail? The term snail mail refers to?
Snail mail is actual pieces of paper going into paper envelopes, going to the post office, going in a truck, going to the next post office.
Referred to as snail because it's so slow. So
it's slow.
So in the computer age, that I guess you can't get away from some snail mail granny that doesn't have a computer or some kind of a check that you might possibly have to send someplace or whatever. But
right.
For the most part, all your contact now, you've done through the computer.
Pretty much. But it's interesting how the United States Postal Service and here in Canada as well, they have adapted to remain viable as far as businesses go. And,
yeah.
You know, that they don't just handle snail mail. It's somewhat the same vein is my buddy Craig. He ordered some tickets to go see Tragically Hip at State Theater here in Detroit. And they just send him a PDF with the tickets.
Yeah.
Print these out.
Yep.
It's all done by barcodes now that when you walk into a venue, they just have those little barcode readers and they...
Sure, we've done booking hotels now. They'll do that and parking for airport and your airline tickets and stuff. It all gets printed out and you have to bring that with you to the airport now. So it's, you know, you don't have to... what would you do in the past for your plane tickets? You'd have to either wait for things to get sent to you in the mail.
Right.
There was a time when they were doing that. Or you'd have to go buy your tickets.
Yep.
You know, and you don't have to do that anymore. You get your tickets online at cheaptickets.ca or wherever, and
exactly. Yeah.
They just get emailed to you, and you just print things off. And
you print out your boarding pass. You don't even have to, if you're not checking luggage.
Especially if you're not checking luggage, yeah. You just, that's your paper, that's your ticket.
First person you talk to is the person who's letting you on the plane, and you don't even have to talk to them. You just hand them the boarding pass.
It's amazing. It's cool. So it's that easy. So if there's people that aren't taking advantage of that because you don't know or you're scared, look around on the internet. Let's move on to television. And even as so far as to record television and also radio on the internet. You don't need to listen. You don't have to have a radio anymore to listen to the radio for most stations. Most stations are online now.
But then you're not listening to the radio anymore.
Well, you are listening to radio, but you're not listening to the radio.
Right.
Same with television. There's a lot of free TV online, and most of the free TV, of course, is public domain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting a lot of older movies and a lot of independent things that are put out, and whether it's music and movies and documentaries and all kinds of things like that. But there's tons of it online. You watch movies 24/7 that are just public domain and free to watch, like at freetv.com and those kinds of things. But also, a lot of the computers now...
Oh, we have an audience here.
Are coming with TV cards in them, a TV tuner card, or you can buy third-party software or whatnot. That's a USB TV card or a card that, you know, goes into your computer that you can plug your TV into,
right,
or plug your cable directly into, or satellite or whatever, digital or non-digital, analog, doesn't make a difference.
Right.
You can get whatever you need, and you can watch TV on DVR stuff, the digital video recorders that you'd... a set-top type that you'd record your football game on or whatever. Now you can just record it on the computer. So you can watch TV on the computer.
Right.
So.
And now, with the advent of the Sling Catcher and Apple TV, you're able to take that and watch it on your big screen TV right from your computer.
Sure, you can shoot the stuff from your computer now to the television as well through your network. So that's another thing to keep in mind is the wireless networks now it's a really big thing. You would have thought of that as something you might use in the corporate field or in a cafe or something, but it's all brought into the home now. Having a network in the house it's a very important part of computing these days.
I have to say, positively.
Important part of the computer age.
Exactly.
So you can stream the stuff to your TV. You can stream the stuff music to speakers.
Yeah.
Or you can, like I say, use your TV tuner cards and watch and record TV and radio right on your computer. So you see here so far that all the things that you would have to run around and do or have different hardware or gear or appliances and things of that nature, it's all just done from one location. So what seems like you might be, you know, never leaving this thing.
Right.
You're doing all those other things that you would do elsewhere right in the one spot. So it's...
Yeah, it's convenient to have all that thing in one spot, but it may seem like to others that you're just doing that one thing.
Exactly. Like, oh, he's just on the computer. Don't you do anything else? Well, right. Meanwhile, you can make a big list of all the things that you've done. You know, I looked up little Joey's cut and what to do about it. He's got a cut on his hand. I did my banking, paid my bills, watched a movie, television, entertainment. That's just a huge part of the computer age, entertainment and multimedia. Okay, aside from watching regular TV, you get into video. If you take video with your video camera,
porn.
You want to edit the stuff, well, you do it on your computer. Before, what would you ever do to edit video? You couldn't.
You don't edit video now.
No, you couldn't. You might have had one of the big video cameras that took a full-size VHS or then to the VHS-C or maybe to the Hi-8 or whatever.
I had a Hi-8.
But you couldn't really edit them. You could buy things that would help to edit, or if you had two machines, you could probably somehow transfer between the two onto another tape or something. Like, it was very, very difficult. But now we're recording digital video and editing like nothing on the computer. A Mac comes all ready to do all that stuff.
Right out
so
the
you
box.
Can just buy a computer and right out of the box, yeah, you can edit video. And that's something that a lot of people, some people probably still can't fathom. It's that simple.
Sure.
And then your still pictures. You took pictures with your 35 millimeter camera and you have to go to Shoppers or Walmart or wherever you develop your pictures, Kmart or who knows where, Blacks photography, and develop your film, and in most cases wait forever for your film. And now it's like you want to murder somebody having to wait for an hour for your pictures. Who wants to wait an hour for film when
I've been waiting 62 minutes.
You just print it at home now, or put it on a disc and send it to, you know. Oh, we started talking about contacts, but I don't know what happened. We'll go back in a second, but Because getting into the contact thing with sending your pictures to family and stuff like that, too. So now you don't have to send anybody some pictures because you can just email them. Or you can throw them on a disc and actually mail that disc. But, I mean, it's a far cry from the old days. Music as well. Listening to music on the computer. We're not in another room listening to the record player now. Or 8-track player or cassette player. But you're right here at the computer.
Right.
So you're here at the computer watching TV. You're here at the computer listening to the radio. You're here at the computer listening to your music. You're here at the computer doing editing your digital video and developing your pictures. And you know what I mean?
Watching porn.
How many rooms would you have to have? You'd have to have a dark room. You'd have to have your living room. You'd have to have a studio if you want to do some recording. You'd have to have another studio for your pictures and movie.
That's not happening.
It's incredible. We're really excited.
So how about people like me who have Hi-8 tapes?
Yeah, and just
I want to.
You can transfer them. You need some kind of a little type of a video box that you can transfer. It'll hook cables up from your Hi-8 camera to that, and then that'll hook up to your computer, and then you can transfer them on, and you can get them digital that way, and then you can edit them on the computer, and then save them that way, and then after you're done all that junk, get rid of the camera and get yourself a digital camera so you don't have to play around with the... Although you could keep it and transfer them in, but it's not quite the same quality, that's all, but...
No.
As a digital camera, but it's just another way that the computer age has taken over, a lot of the things that are involved with movies and music and pictures. The way that we've always done them in the past is changed substantially.
Sure has. I don't have my Hi-8 camera anymore.
Okay.
So now what do I do?
What do you mean, what do? You go buy a digital camera.
But I want to take my Hi-8 tapes and put them on my computer.
Oh, if you don't have it at all.
I don't have a Hi-8.
Is it the 8 millimeter or the Hi-8?
Mine was the Hi-8, I believe, yeah.
The Hi-8.
Yep.
Which is supposed to be a digital picture, I think, of some kind. That was their answer for digital, I think, at the time. Or if it's 8 millimeter, I have a camera that you could use to transfer.
Okay.
But if it's Hi-8, no.
You have an 8 millimeter camera, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. If it's a Hi-8, then that's you'd have to actually find somebody with a Hi-8 camera or bring them somewhere to get transferred.
Okay.
Those are your options.
Thanks.
What about advertising, business, web design, and those kinds of things? Or simply for pleasure? Putting up a website for friends and family to see and things like that. It's kind of a form of contact, and we'll get in a little bit more into contact now. But for businesses to put up an online business card or brochure online as opposed to handing them out or door-to-door or mailing and those kinds of things, I just don't think that can be beat.
No, it has transformed that whole business as well as far as the way that business conduct advertising and stuff that they hand out to potential customers.
And if you do hand out a business card now, it's got a website address on it and an email. email address, so they can contact them through the internet, and also go onto the internet to see their products and their pricing and who's involved with the company or what the company's about and their location and all that stuff, where you can't get all that information on a business card. And in many cases, not even on some type of a small brochure. Like, you know, they got pages and pages online that people can take a look at now. So you're really losing out if you don't have the internet or a computer.
Right. That's more internet. It seems like we keep going back to the internet.
Yeah, the internet is a really large part of the computer age and using a computer.
I know. But now as time goes on, I see that the internet is now slowly going out of the computer and more onto mobile devices.
Sure.
And
the phones and the PDAs,
exactly,
personal digital assistants, and even I think some of the, like the PSP and stuff, don't they, those things have network capabilities now, and
you can get on the internet, no problem.
Mini mobile browsers and your cell phones and all that stuff, and you can connect now because people are reliant on the internet.
Sure.
In such a way that they need it wherever they go now.
Exactly.
Like, you know, heaven forbid I have to leave my desk. I got to get on the internet with my, you know, wherever.
Wherever I'm at.
Sure. Yeah. And which brings you to all the wireless networks in like the airports and the coffee shops and different places. And hopefully we'll see at some point in time that it's just a whole worldwide wireless network and you can just log into the internet from any place.
I did want to touch on that. How... We keep talking about doing almost, you know, a whole bunch of stuff on the internet. The internet has become such a big part of what we need as far as our daily life and how much we use it. It's like light bulbs. I mean, electricity coming into our home. I mean, it's something that I think that it has to be more widely distributed. It should be something that the government of all, you know, countries, New World countries. No, that's not what I'm thinking of. You know,
New World Order.
Modern countries, it should just be something that is provided to them.
And something I wanted to mention, the fact that, like, I know, like, I told my grandmother the other day, she's, like, you know, in her late 80s and would never dream of getting a computer for anything or learning how to use it, probably. But I said, Grandma, you need a computer. You know, we're all online. And I recently was in contact with a cousin that I didn't know I had, and they contacted my grandmother, wanted to send some pictures. And she said, well, you know, call my grandson because he's got email and you could just send him and then I could see him, you know, you don't have to, because he called to see if she had email at all, you know. And I said, Grandma, you need a computer. Oh, no, I don't want one of those. But, you know, they a lot of people tend to think that, you know, what am I going to do with a computer? But my grandmother goes to the bank. My grandmother would probably enjoy the fact that it'd be easier for her to keep in contact with her family instead of phone calls, because everybody's seems so busy, you know, all the time, that maybe don't talk to her enough. Whereas email, it seems a lot easier to talk to people through email because you don't have to sit down and call, or you don't have to be on the phone so long if you don't want to, or you know, those kinds of things, where you can just send an email and at somebody else's, at their own convenience, they can just email when they want and say what they want and make it as long as they want. And if you want to print it out and read it on the toilet, cool. If you don't want to read it that day, that's fine. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think a lot of people don't realize all the things that they do. She's got a 35mm camera. She goes out and gets her pictures developed. Whereas it might be easier if she had a digital camera or computer, she could just, all her pictures would be right there. You know, she could just throw them on a disc if she wanted to look at them or give them to anybody or email them to everybody, which she could share.
Sure.
But I'm just using her as an example. Maybe it is a little late in the game. I don't know. And even as far as, you know, a lot of people, older people do use computer. They like to gamble online and play games online and those kinds of things. I hear about that all the time. But there's just maybe a lot more for them to do.
Right.
But as far as contacts, and can we move on to contacts? Or
Can we revisit contacts, you mean?
Yeah, sort of revisit. family and friends. You might put web pages up for them. You might send them digital forms of your pictures and movies and stuff like that. And getting into the computer itself to store your information, you don't need the little 3-ring binder notebooks anymore with all your addresses and phone numbers and things in. And you don't necessarily even need your actual phone book. I mean, you can pretty much look anything up, numbers and addresses that you need online, and maps to go with it. And
pretty much, yeah.
Then you get the brochure and the pricing and the, you know, you don't get all that out of a phone book. But as far as contacts for your family and friends and things like that, email, and you have programs on the computer that hold all that stuff. And Mike will tell you a little bit about those kinds of programs.
Well, depending on which platform you're using as far as Windows or Macintosh, there's plenty of...
But generally the same.
Generally.
What it is that you have. The sure. names are different, but...
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
But overall, it's your calendar, your contacts, and your...
Calendar and contacts. They're on the Macintosh, they're actually integrated so that you can have your contacts in one program, which it's called Address Book on my Macintosh here. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you're in iCal, my scheduling program is called iCal, and you can have that program send you an email if there's some kind of event that's coming up, and you can tell how much before that event it arrives to send an email to that person or to a set of people that are in your address book that you just pull up automatically because they're so, what's the word? Integrated mm-hmm. together that, you know, you can easily do all kinds of stuff. So if you want to send one message to a whole bunch of people, you can put all those type of people. Like I have a band, I'm in King Friday, but I have a set of people that are in my overall contacts that I know that they're going to be interested in when the next King Friday gig is going to be or whatever. So I just take that group and I put them in a group called King Friday.
Right. And so you can actually email to the group instead of selecting individuals or anything like that.
Right. And just click on a group, send this email message to my King Friday group, and boom, there's, you know.
So that's like even the cousin or uncle or so-and-so that wants to contact a bunch of people in their family, well, they can have a group of their whole family email addresses, and when they send something, it just goes to everybody instead of having to do one by one or make a whole bunch of phone calls or send out a whole bunch of letters for Christmas time or whatever.
That's right.
You know,
and I'll have to say, if you haven't actually set up a contact, what is the deal in Windows?
Windows is actually Outlook and Outlook Express.
Right, Outlook.
That's the regular Windows stuff. I on my Mac, I use
Entourage.
The Microsoft version for Mac of their contact program is Entourage. And that's a whole integrated thing with your calendar, your contacts, memos and tasks, things that, you know, to-do lists and all that kind of stuff. That's all part of the whole thing. So there's not, you know, where we had those day planners and things like that. Well, that's kind of a thing of the past now. It's and as well, with these programs, you can sync up your PDA. So if you carry around a little Palm Pilot with you and you throw stuff in while you're out driving around and you put information in it or you meet somebody, a new contact that you have to establish or that you put into your Palm, well, when you sync it up with your computer, then the two sync back and forth and your information is kept the same on both platforms. So that's another part of the integration as far as contacts are concerned with and mobility.
Yeah.
And you know, as well, a lot of phones will sync up as well
using a technology called Bluetooth.
Sure, Bluetooth or plugged in by cable. Sure, sure.
They're making it easier.
They're making it wireless now. My Palm will sync up through my wireless network. It'll sync up through Bluetooth or it'll sync up through a cable, a USB cable. So
your options are wide and varied.
They are.
That's awesome.
The options are just wide open. It's incredible. The computer age.
What I was going to say is when you first set up your contact list, mm-hmm. if you haven't set this up yet, a word of advice is to do it as organized as you possibly can do it when you first start off. Like, make sure.
Yeah, because having to go back and
edit your
change
contacts.
Change things is a lot of work. Yeah, sure. Or if you lose it, so back up. And that's an important part of the computer age is backing up the information that you put on the computer.
Positively.
You put on your movies, music, and pictures, and all your contacts and all those things. You might have to go through a little bit and maybe, you know, find some information for yourself of where some of your things are stored that you want to back up if you're not just backing up completely your computer. But it's very important to back up onto a disk or an external hard drive so that your information's safe as far as your computer going south or you know, something, your hard drive failing or something. You don't want to lose all your contacts and those kinds of things.
With the price of Jeff and I have another podcast called Easy Mac Podcast, which you can find at theeasymacpodcast.com. One thing that we talk about is external hard drives. We with the price of them coming, they're so low now, and you can get so much storage for so little money.
Or you can buy such a big flash drive that goes on your keychain or whatever, like, you know, up to a couple gigs.
Sure.
It's enough to put a lot of your important information on. Save your email, save your addresses, save your favorites that you have on the internet and those kinds of things that you just don't want to lose, or
right.
particular documents and things.
Exactly. That's the whole thing with, as we get as we have our computers longer, we put more stuff into them, our new contacts, our new pictures, our new videos, our, you know, new bookmarks for our website. So we basically, we're gathering more and more ones and zeros. So as time goes on, we just keep gathering and gathering all this information. We have to have some other place for it to go. Because if you were to lose this big stuff that you're saving up, I know I'd be devastated.
Once in a while, you may go through and clean it up. Get sure. rid of some things that you don't need over yep. time, but you do need somewhere to store that externally.
Positively, because you don't want to lose that. So back up, and back up often.
Yep.
It should just be something you schedule, actually. Backup software now, it should just happen automatically. You shouldn't even have to think about it.
That's right.
If a hard drive fails, you should just say, oh, that's a bummer. It's kind of inconvenient. I'm going to have to restore my computer with the stuff that I have where my backup is.
Yeah, or I may not have my computer for a little while because it's had to go in the shop, but, you know, all your information is at home.
Safe
in case
sound.
Something, you know, is really went wrong.
Where do you want to go from here, JD?
Medical tracking in history.
Huh?
Just a little touch on this. There's software available that you can keep track of your family's medical history and all the things that pertain to that. Your history as far as, you know, your appointments and doctor visits and things like that, and medications and stuff like that. That might be an important thing for a lot of families or maybe older individuals or that have a, you know, a lot of that stuff that are busy medically, maybe.
Like a log of some kind.
Yeah, it's logs and stuff like that, sure. And for the people that are work out and things like that, that are, you know, into exercise and dieting to keep programs, logs of your programs and your exercise routines and things like that, that's all the software available for that. So you can keep track of all that stuff. And a lot of that you can sync up to your PDA if you take your PDA to the gym or something, and then you have access to that, those same, a lot of that information. Any other things that you can think of that everyday things like that, that, as far as software is concerned, maybe that people could take advantage of that they would normally have to do in some other way.
Sure. Well, there's, you know, there's the whole diary type thing or blogging, you know, people.
Oh, journals. Yeah, sure.
Just write their thoughts on paper. Well, instead of doing that, just sit down at the keyboard and a lot of people post those to the internet. You know, I love blogs and people can hop on and read that.
Scrapbooking has now gone digital, basically. So there's a lot of ways to take a lot of your pictures and maybe some of your movies even, I'm not sure, but your photographs and add them to nice backgrounds and text all over them and stuff. And so people that are into scrapbooking and saving a lot of things and clippings and newspaper stuff and scanning, turning your paper documents into digital documents,
mm-hmm.
generally PDFs, something that you can email to others if you need to, or, you know, things like that. Scanning has become a big part of computing, I think, turning your paper documents into digital.
Sure.
So whether it's a picture, an old photograph that you have and you scan and put in the computer, or just a document in particular that's a paper that you want to save and keep it in all together in a digital form of some kind in case you need to email it or fax it. And that's another thing, faxing now has the computer's taken over the fax.
Sure. Even though it is
you can fax any document from your computer.
It is analog technology. Using your computer to do it it makes all kinds of sense, because it'll keep track of all your old faxes.
Right.
And it'll keep track of all the faxes that you get that come into your...
And people who don't fax on the computer, which is probably a lot of people, more so that don't than do, and probably part of the reason being that, well, I have my computer, but I can fax from it. Like, you know, I want to fax to some place, but or wherever, that maybe they don't have a computer. It doesn't matter. You can fax to a fax machine, and a fax machine can fax to a computer. So,
yeah,
I fax on the computer a lot.
Do you?
Sure, I fax all the time on the computer. Use a lot for faxing.
Yeah, it's a good easy way to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I don't need a fax machine.
No. And if you fax to a fax machine from a computer, the quality that comes out of the other fax machine is actually very high, because it was never bitmapped until it got to that destination.
Right. It's a whole different process. So by our discussion here today of the computer age, you can see just how important the computer has become, how it's evolved into a part of our everyday life. So
on with the jabber quote. Jabber quote. All right, this week's Jabber quote.
Brought to us by
Stephen Larry. From who knows where. I don't know. Stephen Larry got...
We don't even know a Stephen Larry. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hi, Steve. Hi, Larry. We actually have a twofer this week.
Twofer?
Two quick quotes. This is the Jabbercast quick quotes. Here's one by Pablo Picasso regarding the computer. He says, but they are useless. They can only give you answers.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that something? Well, it's true. I wouldn't say they're useless, but it's true they can only give you... They're programmed by people, basically. Sure. So,
and the computers that were around when he was still living. Yeah, they're big.
That was the computer with the stick in the ground to see what time it was. That was the computer. No, I don't know when he died, actually.
I don't know. I want to say it was the 70s, but I'm not sure.
Oh, that late?
I think so. Not positive, but I think so.
Painted some really nice pictures.
And a lot of nice sketches, too.
Sure.
He was...
Was anything on the computer available to him as far as art was concerned?
Easy.
That was a little early.
A lot early, yes.
So, I mean, the Macs and stuff, that all came out like in the 80s. If he died in the 70s, what was there as far as computers then?
Oh, the big
tape machines and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Sweet. Nothing sweet about that.
No. Imagine if we were using that. That's another thing about computer age is how small the computers have gotten, but we can get into that after. Another quote by an unknown author. Computers have lots of memory, but no imagination.
Now, that's a little more deep, esoteric kind of a thing, but it is true.
Sure. It's up to the individual's imagination as far as some output's concerned.
That's right. And that's kind of where all art comes from, is whatever's in your imagination.
That's right.
So, yes, a computer can spit out some nice art, but it has to have that human interaction.
It has to have input from somewhere at some time, whether it was before you bought it or that you put into it to get out what you want. But
that's right. So it can't ask questions and it doesn't have an imagination, is basically what our quotes are saying. And that it's true. Computers are the result of human efforts. It's all us.
Sure. That kind of goes to show you just how intelligent a human can be. Somebody may not be relatively intelligent, but doing some work on the computer and outputting something that's, incredible, it's pretty neat, like an extension of a person.
That's very good. Yeah, that's the good thing about the Jabber quote. It makes us think deep thoughts.
Very deep and, bring out that intelligence in us. And that extension to our individuality.
Or it's like your guitar.
Yeah.
You're an extension.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good analogy.
Yeah,
an example.
It's not as explicit as yours.
Yeah, no. What? Explicit as what? That was cut out. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, right. Exactly. Sorry.
Yeah, like a guitar. Somebody, so many individuals output such awesome guitar playing, and it's the same instrument that can't do anything on its own. It's the individual that, and his imagination. And his knowledge and so forth. There's the Jabber Quotes of the Week.
Brought to you by Stephen Larry. Breaking the mic because I'm really talking. But I'm out here.
It's all the way in his mouth. That's good. He goes deep.
He goes deep. Jeff's got a Woody down.
He goes wide. Isn't there a game on today? There you go.
It's the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Pass the dip, Lip.
Pass
as Rolf would say.
Yes, Rolf was on the show here.
Yeah, he was on, and before we could actually ask him anything pertaining to the show, he was gone.
He bailed.
He said he may get kicked off, or either that, or he was just tired of waiting for us, because we're doing the other show today, the Easy Mac podcast,
yes.
And we got tied up trying to print some feedback and stuff from our listeners, and we realized we're tied up with the Easy Mac show when we were supposed to start the Jabbercast show. So anyway.
And people were waiting for us.
Yeah, it got underway a little late. So we're sorry to all you listeners that were trying to contact the show, but...
Well, sorry, Rolf, specifically.
Sorry, Rolf.
Yes. He obviously is listening.
Yeah.
That's cool. Rolf's a cool guy.
So you wanted to bring up another point.
How computers have created like I mentioned before, my kids, instinctively, if they have a question and they don't know the answer right off the top of their head, or it's just a little piece of trivia, who sang a song or who was in this movie or whatever, whatever kids are wanting to know. Another thing that kids are now, how they're interacting with computers is when they have homework and they have to produce an essay. Well, there's, for one thing, you can go to buyanessay.com or whatever and you can actually pay for a decent essay. Or you can go and look up information on Wikipedia or about.com or go into Google and just do a search on your topic and someone's already written something about it. And what they're doing is just copying it and then they paste it into their word processor and they claim it as their own. And it's called what people are calling the copy and paste generation.
Or the CP.
The CP generation.
No.
As opposed to the X generation or the Y generation. No, this is the copy and paste generation where they're not actually learning anything. They just, you know, they read, oh, yeah, that's going to suit my purposes. And then they just copy and paste it. And then they claim it to be their own little thing. So now there's tools for teachers to use so that they can see if their material is out on the... what it does is analyzes the words and it goes out and searches for that string. And it's, oh, yeah, that someone's already written that.
Yeah, they've gotten wise.
Well, they have to get wise. I'm just thinking of the overall implications on society as a whole as to what kind of kids we're going to be. These are going to be the adults of, you know, for the next generation. And what kind of kids are these going to be if they're not actually thinking, putting these thoughts, processing these thoughts through their brain?
That's another important point to bring up is the fact that a lot of the information is there and there for you to use, steal, whatever you want to call it, as far as copy and paste is concerned. But it's very important that you read and understand the information, whatever you're using on there, even such as the Wikipedia thing, to know whether some of the information there is legitimate information or not, because it is put up by individuals and that kind of thing. You want to check the information, and you do want to read and learn. You don't only want to take the information and use it for what you need to get you by, especially for a school project and kids. You still need to learn.
Teenagers are not in that frame of mind, though.
What more can you do than tell them that, you know, if you're going to take stuff from the internet, read it, learn it, or if you're not supposed to be taking it from there, then don't use it from there. Learn it elsewhere. Get a book. You're a student and you're in school and you're doing all this for a purpose, which is learning. Learn as you're going. You know, that's all you can do is tell them.
And learning hope that is good.
You know, yeah. Learning is good, sure.
Okay, I just wanted to touch on that, and as far as where we're going with computers in the future and how they can be, you know, sort of a bad thing.
Sure, there's a lot of things pertaining to the computer. There's illegal things that go on, whether it's people selling things through the computer that are illegal or websites of some kind that have content that shouldn't be displayed, and the buying and selling of, you know, like you mentioned, the school papers and things like that, and there's different things online that are not legal and
or ethical. I mean, it may be perfectly legal, just like MP3, all of MP3.
Sure, but this is this format that makes it more widely available, whereas, you know, you would hope that it's not in a lot of cases, as far especially as maybe parents and kids are concerned and things. So you have to use your own discretion, and parents have to have some discretion, and hopefully the next generation of kids have discretion, and there are tools as far as your software is concerned to limit content and time on the computer and things like that. So those are other things that people might want to consider as far as kids are concerned.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There you have this week's Jabbercast, and next week on the show is the Get in Shape Show.
All right.
You might have had a New Year's resolution that you didn't make good on. You maybe want to lose a few pounds or something, and you're having some trouble, or maybe you gave up, or maybe you just want to lose a few pounds in general. Well, we'll give you some tips and ideas and things that pertain to diet and exercise, and maybe have some information that can help you if you're so interested.
Now, what is our expertise in this that we can, who are we to give the...
I'm a certified personal trainer, strength conditioner, and aerobics instructor.
There we go.
Have been for years, and I've done a few of the more well-known programs out there as far as bodybuilding is concerned. And so that's where I'm coming from. And actually, I'm going through a situation now where I had to take quite a bit of time off the gym and probably gained, I would say, approximately 15 pounds for sure. And so I'm going to have to go through another transition, this little transition, and then the next transition to, you know, to get rid of things and stuff after surgery and all that.
Yeah,
so
you got two things.
That's
going
to be a neat thing for me. And yeah, two things.
Okay, and I'm just going to play the straight guy on the next week's show. I'll be the, oh, really? Oh, I should do that. Oh, really? So you're going to be giving me information as well.
Well, not only 100% that way. No. I look at it a little bit from the standpoint of you being a dad and having kids, and maybe some of the things that, you know, that just in general as far as what you know, maybe you tell your kids you can't have this or can't have this, or maybe at some point in time they weren't allowed to have all this candy or, you know, anything like that.
Sure.
And, you know, those kinds of things. And that's very important, I think.
All right. That's the Get in Shape show next week.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast, talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo, all rights reserved, listener feedback encouraged, some conditions apply, open mind sold separately.